Well, there were a few loosely themed debates this year. There were a couple of awkward get-acquainted sessions, it seemed like, and a couple of attack-the-front-runner-of-the-week affairs. The GOP candidate field last night, though, turned into a rhetorical brawl. A look at who is on injured reserve after last night, who is game day decision, and who is going to get more playing time in just a moment. First, some highlights. At the very least, you could see that former frontrunner Mitt Romney was convinced last night that rival Herman Cain was the candidate to take down.
Will the people in Nevada not have to pay Nevada sales tax and in addition pay the 9% tax?
Governor Romney, you're doing the same thing that they're doing. You're mixing apples and oranges. You're going to pay the state sales tax no matter what.
Right.
Whether you throw out the existing code and you put in our plan, you're still going to pay that. That's apples and oranges.
Fine.
Yes.
And I'm going to be getting a bushel basket that has apples and oranges in it because I'm going to pay both taxes.
No,
the people in Nevada don't want to pay both taxes.
Rick Santorum, meanwhile, went after Governor Romney over his health care record in Massachusetts.
This is something that was crafted for Massachusetts. It would be wrong to adopt this as a nation.
That's not what you're saying.
You're shaking your head.
Not what
that
said.
Happens. That
it was
happens
in
to
your
me.
Book that it should be for everybody.
You
guys,
took it out of your book.
Hey, took it out of your
his
book.
Turn.
Let's
his turn.
Be
okay, and mine. Let me.
Governor,
I'll tell you what. Why don't you let me speak?
You're allowed to change. You're allowed to change.
Rick, you had your chance. Let me speak.
Change the facts.
Rick, you had your chance. Let me speak.
You're out of time.
He ate your time. There eventually was time for a recitation of some of the catchy slogans of this campaign: Romney Care versus Obamacare.
Mitt, the governor of Massachusetts just is coming forward saying we have to pick up the job left undone by Romney Care, which is doing something about cutting health care costs. What you did is exactly what Barack Obama did, focused on the wrong problem. Herman always says you got to find the right problem. Well, the right problem is health care costs. What you did with a top-down government-run program was focus on the problem of health care access. You expanded the pool of insurance without controlling costs. You've blown a hole in the budget up there, and you've authored in Obamacare, which is going to blow a hole in the budget of this country.
It's Rick Santorum there confronting Mitt Romney. Michelle Bachmann had some colorful metaphors trying to get back to targeting the Democrat in the White House.
The cake is baked. Barack Obama will be a one-term president. There's no question about that. Now the question is, we need to listen to Ronald Reagan, who said, no pastels, bold colors. I am the most different candidate from Barack Obama than anyone on this
Speaker
stage.
Gingrich.
We can't settle in this race.
And here, listen carefully, you can tell that Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich are arguing about health care here, but it sounds more like a wrestling match between the fine print in the National Review and the back pages of the Weekly Standard.
Actually, Newt, we got the idea of an individual mandate from you.
That's not true. You got it from the Heritage Foundation.
We got it from you and the
Heritage Foundation. You
got it from the Heritage Foundation and from you.
Wait a second, it's not true. Did not get that from me. You got it from the Heritage Foundation.
And you've never supported
it? I agree with them, but I'm just saying what you said to this audience just now, plain wasn't true.
Have you supported in the past an individual mandate?
I absolutely did with the Heritage Foundation against Hillary Care.
You did support an individual mandate?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, that's what I'm saying. We got the idea from you and the Heritage Foundation.
Okay, a little broader.
Let's just say that our coverage of this debate is not underwritten by the Heritage Foundation. On immigration, though, Texas Governor Rick Perry drew a bead on his fellow Governor Mitt Romney, accusing him of hiring illegal immigrants.
You stood here in front of the American people and did not tell the truth that you had illegals working on your property. And the newspaper came to you and brought it to your attention, and you still, a year later, had those individuals working for you. The idea that you can sit here and talk about any of us having an immigration issue is beyond me. I've got a strong policy. I've always been against amnesty. You, on the other hand, were for amnesty.
In the end, the candidates seemed pretty exasperated with each other. Herman Cain at not being understood.
Unfortunately, none of my distinguished colleagues who have attacked me up here tonight understand the plan. They're wrong about it being a value-added tax. We simply remove the hidden taxes that are in goods and services with our plan and replace it with a single rate, 9%. I invite every family to do your own calculations with that arithmetic.
And Ron Paul was concerned that he wasn't able to get in a word edgewise, as he often is. And in one of the more memorable moments of exasperation, Newt Gingrich sounds, listen to this, really annoyed to be in a room full of dummies.
The idea that you have a bunch of historically illiterate politicians who have no sophistication about national security trying to make a numerical decision about the size of the defense budget tells you everything you need to know about the bankruptcy of the current elite in this country in both parties. The fact is, we ought to first figure out what threatens us. We ought to figure out what strategies will respond to that. We should figure out what structures we need for those strategies. We should then cost them. I helped found the Military Reform Caucus. I'm a hawk, but I'm a cheap hawk. But the fact is, to say I'm going to put the security of the United States up against some arbitrary budget number is suicidally stupid.
Cheap hawks, suicidally stupid. There was much more going on in this debate, including the political backdrop of it being held in Las Vegas, Nevada. That state is trying to get its nominating contest moved ahead of the New Hampshire primary, which is why candidate John Huntsman boycotted the debate last night, a decision he probably doesn't regret this morning. As we're accompanied by the psychedelic first, President Gas. A lot of it flowing out of Nevada this morning. Joining us now is Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, for a quick reaction to the debate, and Leslie Sanchez, a board member of the survey research firm Resurgent Republic and author of Los Republicanos, Why Hispanics and Republicans Need Each Other. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think the GOP candidates did for themselves in that entertaining spectacle last night?
Well, you know, after this many debates, the people that are watching are certainly the diehard folks interested in the primary. It's really pulling out and culling out who has the best ideas, who's the smoothest, most intellectual. The ones who did the most, the best for themselves, were the ones who are already at the top tier, being Governor Romney, Governor Perry. There were a lot of positives in terms of seeing who has the depth on the issues, and I think your clip about Newt Gingrich was a great example of that.
Leslie Sanchez and Todd Zwillick, Kane hurt himself last night?
I don't know that he hurt himself, but he confronted the transition from slogan to policy. 999 sounds great. It's catchy. We talk about it on this show and on every show in the whole country. But then the policy comes home to roost as organizations like the Tax Policy Center finally sank their teeth into what 999 might mean for middle class, upper class, and poorer voters in this country. Herman Cain had to defend that, and it wasn't easy.
All right, well,
not all good.
We're going to talk about the policy in just a minute. Is this a turning point? Yes or no, Todd?
I think it absolutely is.
Leslie?
It's a turning point for Rick Perry.
Yes, two people say yes, turning point. We'll talk about it in just a moment. Stay with us to full coverage of the debate last night in Las Vegas. So wasn't that interesting? Both our guests in the last segment said turning point last night in Las Vegas.
Maybe because it was the 10th one.
I don't think so. Well, there was certainly it was heated. The Herman Cain was confronted by his colleagues up there. There was a deep discussion of immigration policy, particularly the record of Mitt Romney. There was also a discussion of health care and Mitt Romney's record on that. And, of course, a discussion of the economy and President Barack Obama. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, back with us. And Leslie Sanchez, founder and CEO of Impacto Group, author of Los Republicanos, Why Hispanics and Republicans Need Each Other. Leslie, let's start with you. You said that the weeding out has begun here, and we're really seeing a culling of the candidates in much more sharp relief. Who would you put at the top and who would you put at the bottom?
In terms of movement of the candidates, I think it's shuffling between the first tier and second tier. If we consider that this is the eighth debate, the fifth after Labor Day, the invisible primary, we call it, it's kind of stacking the deck, seeing who's most qualified, who could take on President Obama, all of this. It's remained consistent that Governor Romney's been top tier. Everybody's aimed after him.
Right.
Kane and the others have moved around. Perry was the one, in terms of all of us believing it's a two-man race between Perry and Romney. I think a lot of us come out of it and agree that it's still that two-man race. The challenge is it's really putting that second tier, is putting a lot of pressure on ideas and really who's going to be able to last through this invisible primary process.
Leslie Sanchez, is Kane in the top tier?
Actually, no.
You don't think so?
No.
Todd Zwillick, do you think Kane's in the top tier?
I do not. I don't think he's in the top tier for the Oval Office. I continue to think he may be in the top tier for vice president, but we have so many corners to turn before we get there. There's no way to know that. That's pure speculation on my part. But a turning point for Herman Cain as well. you know, if he was going to be in the top tier, he might have been able to prove it last night. But like I said briefly in the last segment, Herman Cain is now confronting the reality when you turn a slogan into policy. And that's all about 999, his tax plan. The numbers have been crunched to a certain extent by some of the think tanks, and certainly the other campaigns have been drilling down on 999 and what it might actually mean for middle-class taxpayers. And that can be tough to defend for Herman Cain, because especially that 9% sales tax, which most people don't pay right now, would mean a regressive increased amount of taxes for a lot of middle class people. And Herman Cain had a hard time defending that. And since that's really, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of depth on foreign policy, doesn't have a whole lot of depth on immigration and other issues, really this catchy tax plan was the mainstay, the pedestal of his surging candidacy. And if they're poking holes in that, it starts to get a little shaky for Herman Cain. You wonder where he's going from here.
Leslie, you know, they ask you, you know, oftentimes one of the reasons why political parties try to limit the number of people who participate in these debates is because it can be bad, especially when you're campaigning against an incumbent, to have all the members of the GOP race eating each other alive, or the Democrats for that matter. I mean, is it kind of hurt some of these front runners that we have 8, 9, 7 candidates at each time all sniping at one another?
I tend to believe it's a healthy part of the democratic process. This is a very rigorous process. It's also breeding ground for mistakes, failure, and failures of judgment. And that's what, in many cases, you're going to see in these debates. Historically, it could be, if you look at even Governor Romney's father went down on one statement. I mean, these are critically important in terms of these 25 to 30% of voters who are paying attention right now. It's all about polls, endorsements, and financial reporting. And this is shaking out the deck to see if the resources are going to the right candidate. So it's very healthy, kind of in terms of, if you look at it on a retail scale, it's a very healthy process. Are they going to be ready wholesale when we get to the general?
So, Leslie, the discussion last night that got very, very strident about who has credibility on immigration policy, discussion of a fence, Ron Paul even saying he doesn't believe in a fence. Rick Perry had some strong things to say about immigration policy. Mitt Romney was on the defensive. This is a setup for what the GOP thinks is going to be a pretty important issue, at least in the primary stage of the campaign. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Especially in a Western state, the Western states, you talk about Latino voters. Let's talk about the positives. I think in terms of Ron Paul, the context and the tone and the way they talked about immigration, immigration is not the one issue for all Latino voters. It's ridiculous to think that, and a lot of people try to push that idea. But it is the lens by which they view the candidate and the party. Ron Paul had the right idea. He can talk about a fence. He can talk about securing the border. But he talked about the economic impact. That was the real issue. Newt Gingrich, as always, finessed the issue, talked about opportunity, what's the right plan, how do we identify who's here, and the best balance in terms of labor and the undocumented workforce. But the tone on the other side, and two particular words I want to point to, when they use the word illegals by itself or aliens by itself, is a trigger that has dramatic impact among Latino independent voters. And I'll tell you, among Latino conservatives, Twitter was on fire last night among Latino Republicans who just cringe.
Really?
That we're on that slippery slope and Republicans are doing really tremendous damage.
Well, we'll check in with you on the polling out of this debate, because over the next couple of weeks, that's going to be pretty interesting. Todd Zwillick, let's end with you this morning. The Republican base, when they get up this morning, are they smiling? Are they, oh, I missed the debate last night? Or are they very, very worried about what happened?
They're looking forward to the World Series this evening, probably. Most people don't watch these debates. That's the hard truth. And a lot of people, John, rely on people like you and me to read it out for them.
Except Leslie makes a really good point that there are fundraisers, there are endorsement types, there are activists who are watching this debate who are going to make some decisions in the next couple of weeks.
And to that extent, they're liking Rick Perry more this morning than they were going into the debate last night. In the first several debates, he was downright somnolent. He came alive last night and went after Mitt Romney in a big way. It was scrappy. It was a little bit ugly at times. It's sometimes grating with all the yelling. It was like watching the McLaughlin Group before you've had your coffee. But Rick Perry definitely showed that he wants to be in this race. And if funders are watching that, they might give him a second look.
Watching the McLaughlin Group. Todd, you're such a DC insider. I cannot believe it. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Do you agree, Leslie Sanchez? Perry did well before we go?
Absolutely.
All right. That's a good takeaway. Leslie Sanchez, founder and CEO of Impacto Group and author of Los Republicanos, Why Hispanics and Republicans Need Each Other. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Thank you.